Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful hot Sunday from Florida. So we're carrying on. Our theme today is the eye that is not I, part two, the observer. Okay. So we're just going to let the body settle back and relax, getting comfortable, just kind of letting go, and shoulders relax and taking a breath. We're still resting back in the remembrance. This is a journey of remembrance because there's nothing for us to get or attain. It's just a remembrance of what already is. And we come into that awareness by our love and devotion. We recognize that life is already complete, and that is why there's nothing to attain or to achieve. Okay. So we rest back in awareness. And we understand that no matter what the appearance may be, it unfolds within the vastness of awareness, within the vastness of being. Everything is connected and all is perfect. So we listen from the heart in remembrance. Okay. And we remember that the only thing taking place right now, right with this breath, right in this moment of recognition, that it is consciousness that is present. It is consciousness that listens from the heart, and it is consciousness that speaks. There is no other present presence. So all is well. We're just going to be still. Okay. So I do hope this week has been one of taking some time each day to observe the thoughts and coming into a clearer seeing as to why we are not the voice in the head, okay? And why we are not that voice. Even though it does seem like me. So I hope we've had time to, because we're going on from that point from last week, we're going on to, onward today. Okay. And I hope that today that your view is just a little clearer, if not a lot clearer, that there's not a solid me. Okay. There's not a personal me. There's not a personal separate me. Okay. And that whatever I am, that we've come into the understanding that it is not the accumulation of memories. I'm not that. And I'm not the thoughts. I'm not the feelings. And I'm not the emotions. So I hope that is coming clearer and clearer as we go along. And that perhaps we have also come to see this week that it does take daily devotions. It does take our loving to sit in the stillness and to watch the thoughts and see more and more clearly. Okay? to see past all the lifetimes of beliefs in being a body and a past. Okay. That we are seeing past the stories that that little voice generates through the day. Okay. And to see that since I was never created, that I am never born. And that I never die. So that is becoming clearer and clearer as we go along in this journey. Okay. And with that, we're taking that time to turn our attention throughout the day to seeing the fallacy of the old beliefs, that they're just not holding up, that they just don't have that grip that they used to have. And that we're just seeing those old conditionings. Okay. And that we come to understand that the loving devotion and the efforts that we do throughout the day are the life we have chosen to live in order to be awakened. That's the journey of awakening our devotion to the being that we are. Okay? And that is because, and this may sound strange to you, but it isn't the knowing of the presence you are in this moment that is important. Say, gee, but that's why I'm on my spiritual journey. No, that is not the importance of the moment. It is the greater clarity of knowing who you are not in this moment. Because it is this knowing that reveals the presence that is already present. That unnameable, that indescribable presence. Okay. Let that settle down a little bit. So we may not yet know fully and deeply within our heart exactly what we are, but we can most certainly know deeply in our heart what we are not. Okay. Okay. Now, if there's no personal self, being the you that is you, okay, no little me, trying to be the you that already I am, and if there is no separate me, to actually be a body and a mind. And if there is no personal me to run this life or to live a life, there is no me present to live a life. Okay. Then we have to ask, What is it that feels so real? Okay. What is it that seems to be continuous over the years? And what is it that seems to be present right now in this very moment? Okay. Follow a breath. So here we have to take this step. We're going to have to take a really good look and make a decision from the head to the heart. And add it to our daily devotion of reflection or to contemplate if necessary. But we have to decide, even though it sounds like it's well, it's obvious, but is it in the heart? We have to decide that consciousness is not a product of the brain. We have to make that looking. We have to look at that. And although we may know it here in the head, or we've read them in some of the quantum physics we may be reading, but have we concluded that in our heart? Okay. So we have to decide that consciousness is not a product of the brain, but that the brain only has existence within consciousness. And it functions within consciousness. The brain functions within consciousness, not the other way around. Okay. Because in seeing this and living this, we begin to understand that all is consciousness. All is consciousness. All is within consciousness. Okay. So that's something to put down to check within. You know, where is my understanding of this? And am I living it daily or am I this? You know the routine. Okay. So we bring this to the heart, just as we do truth and understanding that I am not a body or I'm not the mind, just as we bring that in contemplation and reflection into the stillness of the heart. This too, we're going to take there and just rest with it and just let it be there. Just let it be. There's just coming into an understanding and awareness of it. Just let it rest in the heart, okay? And again, as we contemplate this, we will see more clearly as to why it is so. So what we are doing is we are accepting and looking at consciousness as the essential field in which all experiences rise. That's what we're looking at. And in seeing this, that it is within consciousness and within this field that all experiences rise, then when seeing this, we can come into recognition that that familiar little inner voice is not who I am. Nor is it the voice of who I am. So we have consciousness, and this little voice is playing in this field of experiences within consciousness. You are consciousness within this little, where within this little voice is playing in familiarity. Okay. Okay. So with that understanding, then we can look at the brain again as if it were like a radio receiver. We're going to dial in different channels. Okay. So it's a receiver as to the happenings in consciousness. This individualization of being, the receiver, and what is it receives the information of what is going on within consciousness. Within the field of the individualized awareness. Okay. So, what happens within our field of awareness, individualization, that individualization, it's all taking place within consciousness, not in a personal life. So the receiver. As to the happenings in consciousness, this is where consciousness experiences itself as an individualization of itself. In seeing that, then in this way, we can step over any confusion that the commentator, little voice in the head, that it is not that of being pure consciousness. It is not that. Okay. Sometimes we call it the ego. It's important to recognize because we're going to go along and really take a look at this little commentator. But it's important to recognize that that little voice is not the voice of what you are. It is not the voice of pure awareness. Okay? This, I'm calling it the commentator. Usually has a running commentation throughout the day going to, as to what's going on, what's doing, what's being, what's happening. Okay? And why I'm involved with it. You know how it goes. So it's important not to make that mistake. This commentator, and we're going to go through and define it and look at it closely. It is not the voice of God. It is not the voice of pure awareness. Okay. Now, this is what we want to do. Slowly and clearly, because we want to take a look now at the commentator that we all have. Now, recognize that what I am calling commentator is that little voice that declares I. I want to take a walk. I need to go to the store. This is the commentator. Okay. So we're going to put it under a microscope. And the more we look at it, the more we understand what's taking place, the more we are going to see clearly. And seeing clearly is but another statement for what we call freedom or liberation. We awaken to the freedom that is already present. So here we go. Our monitor, I'm sorry, our commentator monitors what we do, what we think, what we say, what we feel, and it then gives its commentary in accord with any action or even non-action. And we can have the body sitting in a beach chair doing absolutely nothing. And the commentator will find a way to run a story about just sitting there doing nothing on a beach chair. Right? Am I right there? Have we all had these experiences? Okay. 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 But there's a thing here, and we might not be aware of it. Maybe, the time hasn't been taken yet to really, really sit and watch this commentator, you know, without interrupting it, without engaging it. But it has patterns. And some of these patterns they're really easy to recognize. They're easy to see when we take the time to just watch. To just observe the commentator. Okay. I'm not saying engage it. I'm not saying try to get rid of it. I'm not saying try to quiet it so it shuts up. I'm just saying to observe it. Okay. So I'm sure that we are all familiar with how that little voice, that familiar little voice that seems to be me talking about me, sometimes criticizes and then also gives comfort, right? It's like a push me, pull me. Well, you really shouldn't have done that, but well, perhaps some good will come from it. Huh? or you're not really being sincere and really gung ho on your meditations. Okay, well, let's add another one here. So there's that criticizing, and then some comfort. Let me know if none of this is familiar for you. Because I know it's my story. So one of the modes of this little voice, this little commentator that we can easily recognize if we're paying attention, if we're observing, is the storytelling. Okay. So it takes the experiences throughout the day. Anything. Dropping a dish, cleaning the bathroom, folding laundry. It will take any experience and weave together for you a cohesive way, in a cohesive way, the happenings of the day. And it will create meaning for them. Okay, think about something that's taken place this morning. What was the commentator doing? What was the commentator saying about what was being done or not being done? But it's going to take that. And it's going to make you a story. A lot of times it will come up with, I should have or I shouldn't have. And I used to tell the students, you should take should and shouldn't out of your dictionary. But this is what is happening. Because in weaving the story, it falsifies a continuity. That just isn't there. Okay. So this storyteller is very creative and it's also very deceptive. But the narrations are so convincing. It can convince you that someone is harming you or that someone has harmed you or that someone is going to harm you. In some way, it can convince you someone has slighted you. Okay. That when you were shopping, someone bumped into you. And it can convince you that it was a personal attack. Okay. That something was done to my person. It can convince us of that. Or that someone not returning a call or a text is ignoring you. Or is it perhaps upset with you, so they're not responding? You. Personally, you. And it's any happening. It can take on numerous stories because it stands, this commentator stands as a separate identity. So it can generate and create numerous stories about one small happening. And if you have watched this commentator, you know that that is exactly what it does. So, the stories are woven. Even a story of you forgiving, that's going to have a nice commentator for it. Or you being kind, or you, I'm speaking you personally, this commentator. Okay. It will weave a story. Perhaps you waved at someone or gave a smile. And even sometimes long after the happening, it will recall the memory story, and then play it again. Oh, it was really nice when I passed that stranger and we kind of nodded and smiled at each other. Oh, that was really nice. That should happen more often. Yeah, that really felt good. Yeah, familiar. So it's like we have this, I don't know, you guys might, these old jukeboxes, all of these recordings in there, and the commentator will push a button and replay, 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 Oh. Used to have the favorite button on the machine, right? When you went in. So I want to give this mode of storytelling a moment for you to take a look at it. Okay. This is our first mode. This is the first one. Okay, and then just follow a breath and just look. Just quietly, like we're laying there on the grass and watching clouds drift by, just watching the commentator, the little voice. And how many stories there are about how many things. Let's take a moment, a couple breaths. A look. Yeah. Okay. Got to keep us all on the same page here. Okay. So this next one, and I know we're familiar with this one. This is the commentator's mode for judgment. And like I said, I think we're all pretty familiar with this one. It compares what we do. It's comparing now. It compares what we do or think or say. And it compares that, all of that, against some imaginary standard. Otherwise, there could not be a judgment if there were no comparisons. Okay, so there is this imaginary standard that the commentator holds everything that it sees being done, spoken, thought, whatever, and say, oh, you shouldn't have said that. Oh, God, that was a cuss word. You're on a spiritual path for crying out loud. You can't use cuss words. Wow. What the heck you doing? Okay. An imaginary standard. And it has imaginary standards for spirituality. It has imaginary standards for a spiritual path. There are things it will say, it says you cannot do when you're on a spiritual path. I don't know if you've heard them. Perhaps the commentator has like slapped your hand for what, I don't know, having a cocktail, drinking a beer, dancing at midnight. I don't know. But it has some standard as to a spiritual path. So you need to watch it. Not believe it, not accept it, but watch it. Okay. So it does that. And then there's the criticizing and the comparing. It judges our performance. Okay. And it will judge how well we did at baking a cake to sitting in meditation. Anything is game for judgment because there's a standard for it. There's a good way for you to sit in meditation. There's a proper and right way for you to sit and meditate. Okay. Now, it might not know what that is, you know. But it will certainly tell you that there's a proper way to meditate, indicating you're not doing it correctly. Did you know that there is no wrong way to meditate? Meditation is just the sitting quietly in awareness of what is taking place, but not engaging it. That's it. You can be sitting in a lounge. I mean, I prefer to sit up straight. It's a little bit more comfortable for me, but it doesn't matter. You can be sitting on some bench in the forest or some rocks, or that you have to sit in a certain position. No. No, not at all. But it will give a commentary. So it will judge against that imaginary standard. Okay? And it can either find that we are doing poorly, or it can give a little praise. Okay? You've heard the voice of praises in your head. That was a good thing to do, taking that walk. Or, yeah, whatever. But you have to recognize that, be it criticism or be it praise, it is both of that is coming from the same source, the commentator. That running commentary, that voice in the background, it's all coming there, from there. So that's the judgment one. Okay. And then we have what is called the cheerleader one. And this is that little voice of encouragement. Ah, come on, you can do this. One more step, one more step. Come on, we got this. Okay, so it cheers us on. Oh, that was really a good meditation. Yeah. Right. Doing good. You got this. No worries. Way to go. This is the cheerleader mode of that commentator. Just one more chapter. We can do this. Or let's get another meditation in today. That'll be good for us. That'll be good. Right? Because you've had the judgment, you are not meditating enough. So the cheerleader comes in, same commentator, not a different one, but the cheerleader comes in and says, yeah, let's get another meditation in today. Because you've believed the judgment, now you're believing the cheerleader. So we have to recognize that even the positive talk, when the commentator is in cheerleader mode, even that positive self-talk comes from the same commentator at work. Okay. This is about looking. This is about observing what takes place within our field of awareness. So that if there is a holding to beliefs that are not helping in awakening, that we can see them clearly so that we can just let go. All about clear seeing. And again, in order to see clearly, you're going to have to look. You're going to have to observe quietly. Okay. So this commentator can confuse us. If we are not seeing that it can also sound like the serene, detached observer, that it can give the appearance of a peaceful and wise observing presence, which it is not. But the commentator can give us that appearance, can give us that storyline. And then judgment will come in and say, yeah, that's a good thing. Maybe I should be doing that as well. Okay, back and forth. That's a good thing. So it can come in. And it can sound like a loving, sweet presence. But it is not this commentator, this running dialogue. This is not pure awareness that is giving the comments. It is not. And we'll see why in a second. So we have to watch the commentator, see how it drifts back and forth between telling us a story about an event. I bumped my knee or whatever, and now I'm going to get a bruise, and maybe that's going to hurt for a few days. I hope you. The whole thing, the whole story, it will carry you right into the future. In its story. So we have to watch them. Not do anything about them, but just watch. So what is being spoken is that it is not your self that is making the commentary. It is not yourself. It is not the self. It is not the presence. It is not pure awareness that is doing the commentating. Okay. And again, it's this subtleness that can cause the confusion because it is so subtle. This commentator can bring us images. It can bring us emotions and sensations. And this is so important to see if those things are transpiring in your meditations because we can confuse it and trick ourselves into thinking that it's coming from some high place to be upon us. So it is important to recognize and to understand that if you can see it, if you can touch it, if you can taste it, if you can hear it or smell it, it is not of the self. And that will include any images or feelings that rise as we're doing and going deeper and deeper in our meditations. So important to recognize that. I have been with students that had the images or the feelings, and that became their reason to meditate. They wanted more images and they wanted more feelings. So in that desire, they had that sense of suffering from meditation because they were not being fulfilled in that desire in every meditation. Okay. So when those occur, we have to remain in the heart. We have to remain still without engaging or accepting them in some way as being important. Okay. So even sometimes, this little thing here, a little story here, when you're out and about, have you ever had like a feeling rise up and made you uncomfortable or had a feeling that someone was watching you or talking about you while you were moving around the store? This is the commentator. This is that commentator weaving a story from this happening, this small little happening, and weaving it into a story and then carrying that story on and on. Might even replay it once you get home. Okay. So the commentator, in essence, what that is doing is creating throughout the day and the night a sense of me It creates a sense of separateness, a separate self. I mean, would we be on a spiritual path if we did not have that sense of being separate? Because what we are doing is meditating and in prayer and in silence in order to release that false idea of separation so we more fully experience what we are. But that's what the commentator does. It creates a sense of a separate me. And these actions of the commentator can feel like there is a mind that is trying to control or maintain control. Okay. But this is what it has been conditioned to do. We have allowed the commentator to be conditioned and to remain conditioned by believing the stories and the judgments and the, I forgot the last one, but we're allowing it to do that. Okay. So as we watch this, we release our beliefs in it. Okay. We let go the stories that it wants to generate and create about a me. And again, the clearer we see, the more we experience what we already are. Okay? Oh, yeah, the cheerleader. Okay. So, as we watch, as we observe this commentator, we do see more clearly. And all that activity of the commentator, it begins to change. As we just observe it. But this is why we speak of transforming the mind. How do we transform the mind? Just by watching, just by observing, and not reacting, not interfering, and not engaging. Just letting it be. Just watching the thoughts and seeing them for what they are. Okay. We are cleaning the window of perception as we just observe. Okay. So whenever mind is speaking, I am. It is speaking of the I that is not I. Remember that. Okay. When mind is speaking, I am this or I am that, it is speaking of the I that is not I. When mind says, I am happy, I am sad, I am not enough. You are allowing those words to be the definition of yourself if you are accepting them, if you are engaging them, and if you are believing them. Because in that believing them, we feel as if there is a person that there is somebody present who is happy or sad or not enough. But when you learn to take that breath and to step back from engaging it and believing it, you can see so clearly that, wow, wait. I am aware of the feeling of happy. There is an awareness of the feeling of happy. There is an awareness of it. There is an awareness of the feeling of sad. Okay? A feeling of sorrow or a feeling of loss. Even a feeling of anger. There is an awareness of that feeling. Okay. And there is an awareness of the thought stating that I am not enough. So there is an awareness. Commentator claims it to be I. Spiritual truth says it is awareness. There is no I. So actually, there is no place for happy to land. There's no person for happiness to land on, or for sad to land. And there's no place for the idea that I am not enough to land. Why? Because there is no person present to have that. There is no body. There is no mind for you to be as you are essence. You are not body. You are not mind, or the thoughts of mind, or the conditioning of mind. You are not that. You are essence. You are not solid. You are fluid. You are flowing as consciousness. So there is awareness. Of happy. Awareness of sad. Awareness of anger. But there is no person present to be those things. And awareness is never what it is aware of. It is all inclusive, but it is not what it includes. Okay. So this awareness is always going to be aware of the experiences, the happenings in consciousness that are taking place. It's going to be aware of feelings. It's going to be aware of the sensations. It'll be aware of emotions, okay, that rise up and are presented to it. But again, awareness can never be what it is aware of. So if you are aware of a thought that I am not enough, then you are just aware of a thought that is stating I am not enough. It isn't truth. It isn't really anything. It is just words floating up to your attention. And it is up to you how you will either respond with stillness and silence, or you will be jerked into a reaction. But that is within your being to be at one or the other. Okay. So, it is like, since awareness cannot be what it is awareness, it would be like, we could say that the dog is aware of a flea. Okay, but that doesn't make the dog the flea. It's just what it is aware of, but it's not what it's aware of. Or a tree is aware of a bird sitting on a branch. Okay. But the tree doesn't become the bird that it is aware of. It is as you. You are aware of feelings, emotions. You are aware of the commentator. You are aware of the stories. Okay? You are aware of all that goes on within the vastness of awareness. But you're not that. So this pure awareness that is you is aware of the commentator voice. Right? You are aware of this little me voice. Right? But it remains silent because it doesn't engage in thinking. It is aware when thinking transpires within the individualization. But awareness itself doesn't engage in thinking, but it's aware of the thinking. It observes everything without reactions. Okay. Okay. So let's set back. We want to let this kind of settle in quietly. So just follow a breath. Okay. And today, let's increase from that mindfulness count of four up to the mindfulness of a count of seven. Okay. This is a focusing. This is a mindfulness. Just being present. So the count of on the in-breath is a one, and then there is the letting go on the out-breath, the releasing. And there's a in-breath on two at your own pace. And we'll just go to seven, about a minute. Just some mindful observing. Very good. Okay, beautiful. Thank you so much. And we'll be going on from this point next week. We're gonna continue with this. Okay. So, all right. Any comments or questions? And thank you.
Mary, this feels so important for me.
It is important. I think we are so used to that voice.
It's so, yeah.
And that is the basis of our suffering. Is that voice that we listen to and believe? Okay.
It's the first voice I hear every morning,
Yes.
and it tells me I'm unhappy.
Okay.
And I've been believing it. And
Yes.
it has an energy around it. It's very heavy.
Because it's not truth.
It's not
If it's not truth, there's always a heavy feeling to it.
heavy.
We feel that, yes. Yeah. But the thing being, that voice, okay, that we have given it permission to live our life. Yeah. You tell me what to do. You tell me how I'm feeling. You tell me where I'm going today. You tell me, what the day is going to be like. Tell me what tonight's going to be like. So we have given it permission to live our divine life.
I've been calling it the pretender self. It pretends to be me, and I listen to it. But somehow or other, you have identified it in a new way for me, and I'm really happy about this.
Okay, because
I don't want to get too into it because I want to just sit with it.
right, and that's a good thing. Don't know how often you hear me say, watch the thoughts, watch them, don't engage them, don't play with them, don't believe them, don't pick them up and nurture them, just watch them. The watching, the observing, the awareness of them is your nature. Okay. You are by nature observing. So as we observe something, right? I mean anything.
Birds.
Anything, okay? I'm observing this little cup, And as long as I'm calling it a cup, I'm not really seeing it, so I take away the definitions and I begin to see it differently. Why? Because I stop believing what mind was trying to tell me that this is. Now I can see it for what it is. It's just a shape and a form. That's it. Mind is going to say it's a cup, and a cup that has water in it, and a cup that has flowers and all of this on it, and a cup that was made, I don't know, wherever, by a pioneer woman. It's going to tell me all of these things, and I'm never going to see it for what it is. Because I'm believing that little voice. It is the same if an individual passes by. The commentator will begin its narration, and you will never see what is truly there. You look at this form in a mirror, and the commentator begins its process, weaving its story. And as you believe it and continue to accept it and allow it to live your life, you will never see what's already there. So, in observing this little voice, in watching it, you see the fallacy and the deceit of it. But it is also in the watching that it quiets and it begins to change. Why? Because you are watching it from a heart of
My
love.
heart, yeah.
You're watching it from love. You're not condemning it. You're not condemning it. You're not cheerleading about it. You're not judging it. You're not doing anything but watching from the heart. Okay. It causes an energy field to shift, the frequencies to change, the vibrations to change. So as that, then the thoughts that come from a higher vibration. So the thoughts that were there as judgments and condemnations, they begin to fade. They're replaced by what we would probably call higher thoughts. They're still coming from the commentator. They're still coming from that place, but they're coming with a different energy. They're coming with a different vibration. You're still watching them. Okay. But they're changing as
Their
you watch,
source,
as you
yeah.
watch them from the
The
heart.
source from where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary.
So this is why we be as we are, which is the awareness, and watch and observe without comment or judgment. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, thank you. I have to run, I'm sorry.
Problem, so we're done. If there's no more questions, we're just going to have this the little prayer.
Wait.
Any questions? Any more questions or comments?
That was fabulous. Every word touched me. I'm going to listen to this one like I did last week's one.
Okay, very good. Thank you, love. Thank you.
Thank you. It's really, really wonderful. Really
Always,
good, Mary.
always you can send an email if you have questions that you think of later. Just let me know, and we'll take care of it. Okay. So let us pray. I know we're running a little long today. I'm sorry. Let us pray. Most beloved, I am as boundless as space. There is nothing I need to accept, and there is nothing I need to reject. All is well. There is nothing to hold on to and nothing to let go of. All is well. I am in all beings, and all beings are in me, and all is well. Thank you, beloved, that it is so.
Shante, shante, shante.
Amen. Om Namaste.